Well, we are back for the third session of the evening. I'm Sergio. With me here is Cedric. And right now we have a really interesting conversation with two of the most top umpires in the world, but I will let them present themselves. We have Carolina de la Fuente and Martin Grocha. Martin, if you want to start just giving a brief introduction about yourself, where you come from, why umpiring.
Yeah, sure. Hi, everyone. My name is Marcin. I come from Poland. I'm an international umpire, and I'm very happy to have this opportunity to join you this evening.
Perfect. Hi, guys. I'm Carolina. I'm from Argentina. I've been in my international career for more than 20 years, and I'm retiring. Tokyo was my last international tournament, but I'm happy to be here to have this chat with all of you.
Amazing. First one question that I want to ask, because maybe for you, Carolina, being in Argentina, which is kind of one of the biggest countries in terms of people playing the sport and being related with the sport. But I want to ask you, Martin, how was it coming from Poland and developing the sport there? And how did you end up being an international umpire coming from where you come
Amazing.
From?
Amazing.
I've picked up sport in my school. There was a really passionate coach that kind of got a group of kids together and that started playing hockey. And I played myself for 6-7 years. And we even won some youth medals in the kind of youth Polish championship. But I wasn't an exceptional player. I was average at best. Brutal honesty. And I kind of can assess myself here. I was going to university, so there was like a transition time for me, and I wanted to stay connected with sport, and that's why I was asked if I maybe want to pick up umpiring. And you know, then from year to year and from one category to another, I did more and more more matches, more senior categories. Then I was asked to go for a youth international tournament. And that's kind of the natural way of umpire developing over years. I'm not sure Carolina's stories might be same or might be different, but at some stage, I think I was lucky as well. I think luck is a big part of anyone's journey. And I was noticed. I joined a European umpires development program in 2007, that kind of gave me a little bit more tools and kind of a better framework. And then also year from year, I kind of, you know, developed and grew into the umpire that I am today. And obviously, as I said, luck has something to do with it, but also there was a lot of hard work and commitment and sacrifices along the way. So that's a long story short.
What about you, Carolina? How was your travel and your journey until you made up that point?
Well, I think in one part, we are lucky in Argentina because we have a very good level of hockey. So that was very good for me. But in the other hand, because we are in the other side of the world, it was very difficult for me or for the Argentina umpire to get tournaments to go and to show us as umpires. But as Marcin said, it's like a journey. I'm started to umpire because as him, I wasn't good enough to still working in a high level. So I say, how can I be enjoying this or be part of the game? So I decided to stop playing and started to umpire. I always enjoyed many people in those years told me, Carolina, start to speak English because you have the chance to be an international umpire. And I said, what's that mean? I don't know what they were talking about. And then I'm very happy because I follow that advice. And I think was good for me to be part of this world, the hockey family, in this important and excited role.
If I may speak for myself, I find it quite difficult to find younger people who want to be an umpire. Know a way how to motivate young people to be an umpire. It's quite hard, I think.
Yes, I agree. I think we see that in many different countries. I mean, for young people to pick up a whistle and become an umpire. Although I think that there's been exceptions and that has been changing. I think the biggest selling point, let's say, for if I would have to make one is, you know, you get to experience the sport, you get to be part of it on the pitch in a way that kind of gives you options that playing wouldn't. As a Polish player, I would never go to Olympic Games. As a Polish umpire, I went to 3. So that's just one part. Just one part. Another part is meeting all those great people along the road. Carolina said it's a journey, and it is. And there's so many people on that journey that you meet, that you hang out with, that become your close friends. So it's kind of a completely new experience and an opportunity for someone to be great. And even if you're not great, it's to just get a new experience.
Yes. Yes, it's like being part of a team. It's not important where is the step where you are or which tournament you get during your journey. The important thing is to enjoy each match, each opportunity that you have to do what you know to do, that is umpiring. It's like that.
And we have to kind of love it because you know we're volunteers as well in a sense. So we do it for the love of sport. We all have our other jobs that we have to do. We have family at home, and hockey is another element that you know you want to kind of juggle. But it gives us a great pleasure. It's so much fun to do that.
Is that, Carolina, the thing that you enjoy the most? You were talking about being on the crowd. Also, Martin, you were saying that the possibility of coming from Poland, being an international event and being surrounded by the sport you love. What is the thing that you enjoy the most, not only about being an umpire, but being an umpire of hockey?
I think for me, the important thing is to find your own balance. In my case, I enjoy being in a very good match, but I enjoy to help other umpire to have his or her best match, or I enjoy watch a match from outside and celebrate when others umpire have a good one. And really, I really enjoy knowing places. So, and stop working. So I work in a bank, I have a lot of responsibility. And when I go to a tournament, I block all my formal life and I go to a tournament without nothing in my back. So I feel like an Olympic athlete. And I'm only an Olympic official, you know?
I wouldn't say only. I mean, we can be modest, but I think getting to that kind of level, it also takes a lot of commitment. And you know, we going to Olympics, that's a pinnacle for any umpire. That's the top, just like it is for athletes, and being part of the group and also experiencing it with people that were on that road with you, that travel that road, the people you've been on the, let's say, tour for years, that you grew through ranks together. That just makes it so special.
What would be your advice for an umpire in a country without a big domestic league to get good enough for a top level?
I guess that's that would be for me. And I saw that came through the chat. It's tough to say, really. It takes a commitment. It requires doing a lot of hockey, trying to kind of be good enough in your domestic league to be considered for international appointments. Potentially, if in Europe, then trying to get nominated by your federation into the EHF programs for umpires, which is, I think, Umpires for Europe. Then there is a UDP. There's a whole development structure that people can take benefit of or take advantage of. But it starts with kind of working hard and kind of also building enough tools at home to be able to handle matches internationally. Because going to that next level, once you kind of go to that tournament, very often you already have to prove yourself. So kind of building a good base and a good foundation for what you do or where you want to go is, I think, key.
We have a question here for Carolina, but I guess, Martin, you can answer as well. How do you manage fitness through your umpiring career, if you have any tips? And I would add, how important in terms of being fit is to be umpire?
Nice, good question. When I think is a huge change since that I'm started. I think the hockey changed and the umpires had the responsibility to change as well. So I think is one of the most important points in this moment. Maybe when I started, it was not very a point that you need to work on. If you just run or you play some sport was okay, but now you need to plan your own plan to be fit. And what do you need? Because maybe I need different work than Marcin, because her body is different than mine, but I think you need to plan. For me, it was important to have a team to fill in, so because I don't like to play hockey anymore, really, because I was not good, I didn't enjoy, so I start to run. I'm part of a running team, so this changed my way of train, my way of eat, and a lot of things change in my life. But I try to get into my normal life, so I enjoy running, going to races in the mountain. So it's not stressful for me think that I'm doing something special for hockey. That's what works on me. I know that there are others that need a very hard training only with the focus on hockey, but it depends how you manage in your personal life.
And I think I'll also resonate what Carolina said. The whole fitness regime that we have to follow has changed over the last few years. It used to be a preparation sometimes from tournament to tournament. Now with Pro League present, we have to maintain our fitness throughout the year. So it's not very, you just train throughout the year. If you have appointments or you don't have appointments, you just keep going. You do the program that works for you. Is it running like Carolina? I like running. I as well. I've actually clocked quite a few kilometers as a preparation to Tokyo. But then also there's gym. Some people do bike. Some people do swimming pool. So it's all those different elements that are tailored for individual needs or whatever kind of helps you stay fit. It's not like in the team that where you have one training plan for all and with small variations for different players. We have to pass tests every 2-3 months in the year. A certain test, it's a yo-yo test, it's a sprint that we have to do. We can have to send our body measurements to FIH, and that's being constantly monitored. So we have to make sure that we kind of don't fall behind, that we get the results or we hit the benchmarks that are required, because if we don't, that can affect our future appointments.
I think that's super interesting. We'll go back in a minute about training and how you prepare for important events and regular season. But I wanted to ask you, Carolina, how was it that you were saying that you weren't good enough to be a player, but you still kept the love for hockey? So I wanted to ask you if that's a possibility. Of course it is, because you did it, but how was it for you?
Excuse me, I don't understand the question.
Yeah, so you said that you were not good enough to be a player, but you still somehow kept the love for the sport and you become an umpire. How was that not loving while playing but still liking the sport?
I think I like be part of. And that was the important thing. First, at the club, I love to be with my friends, but I don't like to play. So, okay, what can I do? So I started just being an umpire, because the first years you umpire your own team. Then when I decided to stop, then you umpire as a neutral umpire. And I think that was the key of my career.
Mm-hmm. I was asking because mostly when you're young, it feels like it's either playing or there's nothing else. So I wanted for you to give an explanation on the multiple options that there is and the multiple choices that you have, whether that's being an umpire, a leader, a coach, or many different things.
Yes.
Going back to training and working out, do you have in between you umpires little tips and tricks that help you out and that you all share between you in terms of fitness, nutrition, or this guy is really good for helping you prepare for an event, or is it more like on your own or between two or three people?
I'll start maybe. I mean, there's no tips, there's no tricks. It's pure fitness. You can't kind of work your way around it, unfortunately. But our umpires managers, so as an example, in our preparation to Tokyo, our umpire manager from Australia, Minka. She would prepare a full kind of decks and dossier and information packs about send us YouTube videos, how to best prepare for the test that we have to do, what type of training we should be doing, what's the proper nutrition, how to prepare for Tokyo weather, all those kind of suggestions you would have to kind of get us there in the best possible shape. So that was pretty much that was pretty much it for the tournament.
Yes.
we got a question from the audience. What's your favorite position of being an umpire? Is it on the pitch itself, or is it a, or is a video umpire?
Carolina?
Ah, from myself? Well, when I start to umpire, it doesn't exist the video system. So for me was a very topic that I, in those years, I had to work, because at first I wasn't good enough, even starting on the field, how to manage this situation. And so I think I had been umpire for many years, because I have the how do you say, la habilidad, the ability to change my head and to think that the video was a tool for me on the field. That's one point. But really, I have never enjoyed being a video umpire. I think I do not have the time to be there to feel it as a, on the field. So for me, very clear that I prefer to be on the field.
I used to prefer pitch a lot, and I probably still do. I would kind of lean toward pitch position, but that said, video, being video is also rewarding at times. It's a kind of interesting to be part of that kind of setup. But if I have to pick one, I would go with Carolina and just go on a pitch.
And I think nowadays, because we are the same umpires that are on the field, could be reserve and could be video, now we feel like a team. That, I think, is a good point now. When you umpire, you feel that on the screen or on the, I don't know, on the video, you have one more colleague working for you, helping us. So that is very good.
Should then we have teams of umpires that could change positions and could change teams, but that they go mostly together? And would that mean that you could specialize in being a video umpire or a turf umpire?
So that was the case a couple years back in Rio at the Olympics. We had specialized video umpires, and it would be two in a men tournament and two in the women, and they worked all the games. But the setup has now kind of transitioned into, we bring, so in Tokyo, you bring 14 umpires for each of the two tournaments. And out of that 14 or 15, you pick four for each game. So I could end up doing video reserve or being one of the two guys on the pitch. So probably you would have to ask someone that analyzed the system and made the decision why. But it's actually good to be on the other side, because that also gives you a really good understanding when you're downstairs on the pitch of what's happening behind the scenes, what you can expect. And it's also kind of being in someone else's shoes that kind of helps you get a good understanding of and kind of empathy for the process.
Okay. Can you guys think of one maybe difficult scenario you had during a game or during a tournament, and how did you react on this scenario, on this moment? How did you feel, and how did you react to the players, to your umpire manager, to anyone?
I'll let you think, and I'll quickly jump with one. There's probably quite a few I could pick from. It's kind of being an umpire sometimes comes with those kind of difficult moments, and getting through those, it's kind of a big part of the experience, the journey. I think I was a couple, 10 years ago, I was, or maybe even 15, I was just starting my career, and I made some bad calls in the very end of the game, and it probably affected the result. And I think what was important is in that kind of situation was to kind of go back, analyze what happened, why it happened. Was I in the wrong position or was I not fit enough? And at the end of the game, suddenly I lose my fitness and focus, or maybe, there was too much. I lost focus. I mean, there's so many different elements that you have to look at as a, and now with video, there is some help that we can use and analyze our performance. But at the same time, also being very open about it, not being arrogant about mistakes that we do, and not kind of closing yourself from outside world. I think admitting to those mistakes is also a big part of the kind of, let's call it, healing process, and being very open with players and coaches. And sometimes they might not understand it at that time, being very emotional and kind of the frustration and that kind of happens in the game. But later on, when there is a moment, kind of having a proper conversation. And sometimes it also takes saying, I'm sorry, because it's a cliche, but we all make mistakes. But it's a good cliche, so I'm going to use it. That's kind of my thoughts.
Okay, good. Well, about me, I think the important thing, as Marcin say, is to analyze the whole situation and try to see if the mistake was part of the game, because the players make mistakes and sometimes we make mistakes. The important thing is to know if we sleep well, we were well prepared, we were on the correct spot, and if we prepare with our colleague the match and all this stuff. From my point of view, was very important during my career, and because I made many, many mistakes during that, because it was many, many years, was think in that way. As a player, I'm part of the game and I made mistake too. But try to feel calm, because I think most of the time I arrive to a tournament or to a match as in the best way as I can arrive, as prepared as I can. So I think was a good point or a good feeling to maintain and to enjoy the journey.
Nice, really, really interesting answers. We'll move now to some questions from the audience. But before, I wanted to ask you, because you were saying now, Carolina, the importance of staying calm, and Martin about knowing that everyone makes mistakes. And I think hockey, one of the key elements that it has and that makes it a really cool sport, is that we are quite respectful with each other and with umpires specifically, compared to other sports that are maybe a little bit bigger, as basketball or even soccer, American football or other sports. And my question would be, do you see hockey as a big sport or developing such as big as other sports such as soccer, but maintaining that attitude, for example, with the umpires? Or do you think those are two things that cannot coexist, and when you grow as a sport, you have those triviality and team members being?
I think we need to copy the good example. I like to think as in a rugby, I think rugby is one of the most excited and the level of the rugby is very good. And the relationship between the players and the umpire, for me, is where we need to go.
It's funny Carolina mentioned rugby because that was exactly the same example I was going to give. I don't think we should benchmark ourselves against football. I think football is way beyond anyone else, anyone's reach. No other sport will kind of match that that level. And it's almost a business now. It's not really a sport at the highest level. I love watching rugby, like Carolina said, for the respect between players and the referees. I love watching rugby, and I'm not coming from a rugby country, so there's no tradition of doing that, but it's just a nice sport, nicely packaged sport, and that whole family atmosphere, and also at the stands, how it's being sold, let's say. Is something that I really enjoy. So I think hockey has that potential, but it's gonna take quite a few years probably, and also gonna take a kind of very smart people to do that, because it's not easy. I mean, there's so many sports competing for that audience, and the attention span of an average teenager is kind of dropping, and kind of, you know, even football is talking about kind of shortening the kind of length of a football match purely because to make it more attractive for the younger audience. So it's all those kind of little changes that have to probably be implemented and kind of figure out how to kind of kind of appeal to the audience, and not just and beyond players.
We were talking earlier about motivating young players to be an umpire. We also had a question of what age do you think kids are ready to be trained as an umpire? Carolina, do you want to start?
Well, I think nowadays, you can start your umpire career when you are 10 or 12 years old. When I started to umpire, the average age was when you are 25, 30. And now we have some examples that are very young umpires are already umpired an Olympic final game. As Laurin, I think she umpired a final when she was 26 or 25. That was amazing, but it's not only because she was good enough, it was she started to doing when she was young. So I think nowadays, as soon as you can start it, it's fine. And I think it's good for feeling in another way. I think the young matches need to have young umpires, and this start to get a different feeling about the umpire. I think if then everybody will feel that the umpire is part of the game, and not someone put on there to be like the policeman, you know.
I agree with Carolina. I could probably add that if I would make a decision, I would at every club, every training game they do, I would make sure that every player picks up a whistle every now and then, and kind of experience being on the other side and making those decisions and kind of understanding what it takes and what it comes from with. On top of that, I also saw a question earlier from Germany, I think Anna, if I recall correctly, about how to attract younger people to umpiring. So I think giving them opportunity to whistle and umpire local club games, training games, just to get that experience and kind of know what umpires on the pitch are feeling as well. But if you want something unusual, I would suggest maybe showing them where umpiring can take you, and kind of showing people in Germany, Ben Göndgen, and kind of having a great career, just going to his first Olympics and being an amazing umpire. Then you have Laureen in Belgium, incredible career. And there are more and more of those kind of examples coming up, just as a kind of inspiration, I would say. And kind of showing that staying with hockey doesn't necessarily mean you have to be a great player. There are other pathways.
Then we have another question about the video referee. Have you got some feeling of a difference decision between your field umpire and the video umpire? Carolina, do you want to start?
Well, sometimes when you are on the field, you know that when you make a mistake, and sometimes you already know which is the answer that you will receive. And sometimes you are completely assorted with the decision that you receive, but it's part of the game.
How does it make you feel that the decision is different than you were planning on?
Well, having as I told you before, first we feel that I think angry or stressful or unhappy, but now we are a team. So if the other umpire give you an advice or a decision, so it's okay. I trust on the video umpire decision, so it's not a deal anymore for me. It took many years, but finally I get it.
Absolutely. Like Carolina said, I mean, I'm just gonna be here kind of confirming throughout the whole evening what Carolina is saying, right? I see my role now here. But it's very true. I mean, at the very beginning of the process, you sometimes could maybe people would take it very personal, but the sooner you realize it's not personal, it's a procedure, it's a system in place to avoid big mistakes, avoid frustration. It's actually a tool that can help us, and you make it your friend, not your enemy, then the sooner the better, because it's there for a reason, and it's part of the game now at the highest level. And I welcome decisions, and I can't say that I love when my decision's being changed, but kind of dealing with that, it's a sign of, I would say, maturity and kind of understanding what is there for. And, you know, FIH or tournament organizers are not spending thousands of dollars on putting a video umpiring system at every tournament just to kind of make us look like fools. No, it's the other way around. It's there to help us.
Yeah, true.
I also think this is super interesting about our sport, that is open to, for example, start experimenting with video umpiring when no one was doing it, or start experimenting with umpires having their own microphone so you can hear what they're saying to each other. What are other things that you think umpires, or in general hockey, could experiment for the sake of umpiring?
Well, in Tokyo, some of the umpires used the head camera that was quite new for us. I don't know what more are coming. Luckily, I'm out now.
I just want to make a comment here because I didn't realize Carolina is retiring. There was no announcement, there was no cake, there was no party. So if yes. I can just take that moment and kind of, well, that's a huge news. And kind of, Carolina, congratulations on a kind of great career as well.
Thank you.
And hopefully you stay with the sport. Again, you know, even when umpire is retiring, there's other opportunities to yes. stay. And hopefully, true. You know, Carolina has so much knowledge and has so much experience that we would be so lucky to kind of have her train the future umpires. Yes, I'm glad she confirms. I mean, that's a good sign. And now I forgot what the original question was. So
no worries. It was just about also with the head cameras, with the video umpiring that yeah. you want to access.
What would change? Yeah. I don't know. I mean, Carolina, the cameras. I'm sure EHF, EHL will figure something out, and the people in the marketing departments of different associations will come up with some innovative stuff. Just like we kind of led the way with video referral, just like we're leading the way with self-pass or no offsides, or you know, EHL has tested quite a lot of rules over the first initial seasons. I would love to see, as an experiment, to take penalty corners out of the game and kind of do a shootout one-on-one instead, or maybe two-on-two. Yes. Something, I feel penalty corners are, well, they could be dangerous. Considered quite dangerous, yeah. Yes. So kind of maybe there is a way to have a tournament somewhere, a friendly, just to see what would that come up with. And I can't take kind of credit for that idea. It's been circling around or so who knows? Maybe this will come up.
Yes.
Would there be any particular new improvement that would help you as an umpire? For example, the head sets with the cameras, or having more umpires in the field, one per quarter, for example. Have you thought of anything that could make your life as an umpire easier, or no? Or you think right now the sport is in a good moment, you have anything you need, you have the umpire video when you need it?
I'm a conservative, so I'm going to say we're good as we are as an umpires, but there are people saying that, you know, if you stay in the same place that me and the whole world is going forward, that means you're going backwards. So I would welcome new kind of new technology. I think that's where the kind of improvements going to come from. Maybe new camera angles. I don't know. I mean, I can't come up with. I'm sure there'll be new stuff coming up, as there always is.
Yes.
We're gonna move on.
I'm gonna call out a question. And sorry, guys, I'm gonna just jump right in here. Andre is asking, are umpires trying to be less serious than they were in the past? Where do you draw the line between being natural and controlling emotions? So Carolina can probably say about controlling emotions coming from Argentina. I would say that I think it's just a new generation of umpires. There's a different approach. There is, and pretty much every umpire is different on the different personality. And that, I think what we are encouraged to do is kind of let that personality show on the pitch, not kind of hide behind the wall. We don't all have to be the same cutouts of a kind of perfect umpire. So I think that encouragement to show your personality, that's kind of the, that's where it's coming from.
Yes, and sometimes depend which match are you umpiring. There are some matches that maybe need more from you. Strong whistle, quick whistle, body message, and there are other matches that maybe they didn't need an umpire. So I think it's a mix between Martin Say and the context of the game.
Yeah, I think that's just a perfect way to end the session. Unfortunately, we've been here for 45 minutes, even though it seems like a lot less. I want to thank personally Martin and Carolina, both of you, for your great answers, great insights about the sports and about umpiring in general. And for the rest of you, we'll be right here for the last session in about 15 minutes for another amazing chat. Thank you, guys.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. Thank you, Martin.
Thank you. Thank you, Sergio.